10 minutes after 6 on this Wednesday morning from WSMI, WSMI FM 106. Time now for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield, by Farm Credit Illinois, and by your John Deere dealer, the Sloan Implement Company. Now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. Starting off in your grain futures on the Chicago Board of Trade for yesterday's close. Tuesday evening, July corn finished at 3.94 and a quarter, up 5 1/4. September corn finished at 4.02 and 3/4, up 6 cents. And December corn finished at 4.10 and a half, also up 6 cents. July soybeans finished at 8.22, down 9 3/4. August beans were at 8.28 and 3/4, down 9 3/4 as well. And September beans finished at 8.35 and a half, down 9 1/2. On to wheat for July. July wheat finished at 4.78 and 3/4, up a half. September wheat finished at 4.86, up 3/4. And December wheat finished at 4.98 and 1/4, up a half. On to soybean meal, July soybean meal finished at $2.95.30, down $2. August bean meal finished at $2.96.90, down $2.10. And September bean meal finished at $2.98.80, also down $2.10. On to soybean oil, July bean oil finished at $27.14, down $36. August bean oil finished at $27.26, down $37. And September bean oil finished at $27.40, also down 37 cents. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Tuesday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Tuesday's reported grain price and trend prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices are mixed on Tuesday afternoon. Illinois corn planted on May 19th was 24% complete. 1 year ago, it was 95% complete. Corn emerged May 19th at 11%. We were 81% a year ago. Soybeans planted on May 19th at 9%. And 1 year ago, we were 79%. 18 states corn planted at 49% this Sunday and 78% 1 year ago. Corn emerged May 19th at 19%, and 1 year ago we were at 47%, only 19% soybeans planted, and 1 year ago we were at 53%. In northern western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 5 cents at 349 to 356. Soybean bids were mostly down 9 to 10 cents at 742 to 775. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 5 to 6 cents at 361 to 380. Soybean bids were down 9 to 10 cents at 754 to 790. And in the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 3 to 5 cents at 354 to 388. Soybean bids were down 10 to 14 cents at 762 to $8. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 8 to 10 cents lower at 790 to 797. Basis is unchanged to up 2 at 3200 to 25 under the July. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis is offered at $274.30 to $287.30 a ton, down $2 a ton, with basis unchanged at 21 under to 8 under the July. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids are 5 to 14 cents higher at $3.76 to $4.04, with basis steadied up 9 at 18 under to 10 over the July. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted differential corn bids 4 to 6 cents higher at $3.77 to $3.81. With basis mixed at 17 under to 13 under the July. Soybeans ended down 10 cents at 787 to 792, with basis unchanged at 35 under to 30 under the July. New crop wheat prices were a penny higher at 449 to 472, with basis steady at 30 under to 70 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal always placed their producer corn bids steady to a penny higher at $4 to 401. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 10 to 15 cents. Quotations at 850 to 820. So if we closed up 3 to 4 cents at 512 to 514, Milo ended the day 5 cents higher, 399 to 419. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 351 to 383, soybeans at 764 to 793. And in the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 367 to 385. Soybeans at 780 to 805. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October-November delivery at 348 to 386. Soybeans at 772 to 803, and June, July wheat at 454 to 497. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your closing livestock futures from the Chicago Board of Trade from Tuesday. June live cattle finished at 110.85, down 50. August live cattle were at 108.27, down 25. And October live cattle were at 108.30, down 20. Feeder cattle for May were at 134.37, up 22 cents. August feeders were at 143 even, down $1.77. And September feeders were at 144.17, down $1.70. Lean hogs for June were at 90.10, down $1.65. July lean hogs were at 91.37, down $1.62. And August lean hogs were at 92.47, losing $1.97. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Tuesday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound park carcass trade 11 cents lower. In a range of $72 to $83 with a weighted average carcass price of $80.91. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow price were $1 to $4 lower with light demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded 44 to 50, 4 to 5 weight at 47 to 53, 5 to 6 weight at 50 to 58, and over 600 pounds, $54 to $62. In the Illinois direct hog trade, prices for barrels and gelts country buying points were weak with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $50 to $58. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gelts have totaled $18,860. In the direct cattle trade, in the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and live basis trade at 115 and on a dress basis at 185. Choice heifers on a dress basis traded at 185. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with a heavy 341 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass is 87.07, which is 54 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading lower. Choice carcasses are $219.58, which is $1.87 lower, while select carcasses are $206.58, which is $1.45 lower. The estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 120,000 compared to 121,000 last week and 121,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 470,000 compared to 460,000 last week and 461,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys, the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield, by your John Deere dealer, the Sloan Implement Company, and by Farm Credit Illinois. WSMI weather watcher Robin Schroeder of Jerseyville overnight, 2 inches of rain, 1 inch and 3 tenths recorded by Gary Brown of Chesterfield, 2 and 4 tenths inches recorded by the Lang family of Coffeen, 2 and 7 tenths inches recorded by Chris Cook of Greenville, 1 inch and 7 tenths here at the Weather Center. Coming up next, we'll have part two of the Morning Ag Show. Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you by the CNB Bank and Trust with 19 locations to serve you, by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, and by CHS, farmer-owned with global connections. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy. And in Ag News for this Wednesday morning, African swine fever has destroyed one-fifth of China's hogs, with more losses likely. However, a top USDA official tells Congress the department's ready if the disease comes here. It's bad enough China's hog losses to African swine fever are furthering herding demand for U.S. feed grains, but the spread of ASF here could wreak havoc on U.S. agriculture. USDA Undersecretary Greg Ibaugh tells House Ag lawmakers his people are working with Customs and Border Protection to focus on people and cargo from high-risk areas.
We are training 60 new detector dog teams that help sniff out any illegally imported products carried by passengers or in cargo. We are working to identify high-risk pathways for illegal products, trace the origin, and shut down those pathways. Simply put, we find smuggled items, including meat products, and take enforcement actions to prevent bad actors from continuing to illegally move product into the United States.
The USDA's APHIS is working with producer groups and veterinarians on biosecurity, alertness to disease symptoms, and response measures. And if there's a U.S. outbreak, IBOS says,
we'll be ready. We have ramped up our diagnostic capabilities at facilities affiliated with the National Animal Health Laboratory Network. We have reviewed our response plans with our state and industry partners and have tested those plans through exercises.
And USDA is working with Canada and Mexico on a coordinated approach to an ASF outbreak. But IBAW warns,
we still believe we may be as long as 8 years from finding a vaccine that's effective.
Until then, IBAW says the USDA is working to tighten biosecurity both at the border and at individual operations. In China trade news, Beijing says it's in no rush to get talks going again between the U.S. and China. That's from the South China Morning Post. The Chinese newspaper says the country is prepared to not meet with President Trump if he's not prepared to be realistic. In the article, the Chinese government appears to invite a U.S. delegation to make a trip to Beijing for more discussions. However, there is no schedule set in stone yet, and CNBC says negotiations are in flux. The South China Morning Post says Chinese state media outlets have gone on the offensive. An international relations expert at the Chinese Academy for Social Sciences tells the paper there's no need to get into frantic calculations about when Trump will come if the U.S. continues to lack sincerity. After all, enough has been said by both sides in many different rounds of talks. A Peking University international relations professor says the standoff should last for a while because the U.S. has refused to make even the slightest compromise to a point that's somewhat unreasonable. China put retaliatory tariffs on $60 billion worth of U.S. goods in response to President Trump's increasing tariffs on another $200 billion in Chinese goods. And the United States isn't the only country having trouble with the Chinese. Chinese purchases of Canadian soybeans have slowed to a trickle, according to the Financial Post. Those purchases have dropped 95% in the first few months of 2019 because of tensions between Ottawa and Beijing. The purchase decline comes in addition to Chinese authorities ramping up on pre-entry inspections of shipments from Canada. Soybean shipments from Canada to China plunged to just 3,282 tons between January and March, down from just shy of 73,000 tons during the same period a year ago. The sudden drop in exports is even more eye-opening when compared to Chinese purchases late last year. China purchased a record 3.2 million tons of Canadian soybeans over the last 4 months of 2018. Trade with China fell off a cliff, says Ron Davidson, executive director of Soy Canada. They slowed to a trickle after December. Now exporters are being told that their shipments are being held for further testing and that China is testing for things it never has before. China also stripped the import permits of two Canadian canola exporters. They've also halted more purchases of canola over concerns about prohibited pests found in shipments. Moving on to State of Illinois Ag News, we have the latest crop progress and condition reports for the state for last week. For that, we join Mark Sloysener with the National Ag Statistics Service in Springfield.
There was a little bit of a break in the weather last week, resulting in an average of 2.4 days suitable for field work around the state. Field conditions improved and producers were able to move forward with planting, fertilizing, tillage, and spraying. Topsoil moisture was rated 44% adequate and 56% surplus, considerably drier than the previous week, but many areas are still too wet for field work. Temperatures averaged 63.5 degrees in Illinois last week, just slightly above normal. Rainfall totals range from 1/4 inch to nearly 1.5 inches around the state, with the average at 0.85 inches, a little below normal. Corn planting advanced by 13 points and is now 24% finished. That compares to 95% 1 year ago and 89% for the 5 year average. 11% of corn acres have emerged compared to 71% normally. Soybean planting advanced to 9% complete compared to 79% 1 year ago and 51% normally. 64% of winter wheat acres are now heading, compared to 70% 1 year ago and 75% normally. The condition of the winter wheat crop improved a little and is now rated 22% very poor to poor, 40 fair, and 38% good to excellent. The first cutting of alfalfa hay is 5% complete, compared to 26% 1 year ago and 22% normally. Other hay harvest is 8% finished, compared to 17% normally. Pasture conditions were rated 7% very poor to poor, 25 fair, and 68% good to excellent, slightly better than 1 week ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
And remember, as always, you can catch the full report for the State Crop and Progress Report, as well as many other reports, on our website at WSMIRadio.com. And in other state ag news, the Cass Morgan Farm Bureau Board is encouraging individuals and other county farm bureaus throughout Illinois to donate to the rebuilding efforts going on in Nebraska after historic flooding occurred in March. As a part of their own efforts, the Cass Morgan Farm Bureau is asking other counties to donate 100 fence posts or make a $200 donation to the Cass Morgan Farm Bureau Foundation. The deadline for donations is this Saturday, May 25th. And also, this upcoming Saturday marks 1 year since a tragic fire destroyed almost all of the hog facilities at Borgic Farms in rural Roundtree Township near Raymond. This past Saturday, however, was a time for celebration for the Borgics, as they had an opportunity to hold an open house to say thank you to all those who came and helped on that tragic day and throughout the past year. I had a chance to catch up with Phil Borgic at the open house to talk about the day, where the farm is today, and how the rise in pork prices recently has been an unforeseen blessing.
And me and my family have been tremendously blessed with how things have went. It was a big task. The goal was to get back into production as quick as we can. And we're going to be very, very close by the one-year anniversary, which is Saturday. My family, the way we show our appreciation to people is to feed them. And so we can't get around and tell everybody thank you. So today, then we're having a luncheon here at Raymond KC Hall to just show that how grateful we are for all the sacrifices they made the day of the fire and all the hard work that's went in since then. We had 13 local fire departments that responded that day, some with trucks and then some later in the day with personnel to relieve the firemen that either had to go to work or was exhausted by that time. And that system of the different fire departments working together, I know me as a longtime community member didn't really appreciate all that, how that can come together. We had our fire, but it could have been so much worse. Being early in the morning, we had a lot of firemen available that could come and fight the fire if it had been freezing or raining or, you know, just those different things that could have happened that day that didn't happen. I'm just blessed that it happened the day it did.
And now, I guess, looking forward here in the future, you've got your facility pretty well all back up and running. What are a few goals here for the future?
We've been building for 2 years. The goal is to maybe take some time off, not be building, not have quite so many things going on. But with the experience of the fire, we had an opportunity to redesign the farm. We have put in more fire breaks, more fireproof material. If it happens again, that maybe it wouldn't move through the facility quite as fast as what it did.
Two with rebuilding and expanding a little bit. How many head of hogs now could you have now?
Yeah, I don't think any farmer does anything they don't expand a little bit in the process. So we did go then, add another 1,000 sows as we rebuilt, And so the unit in at Round Two Township then will have 10,000 sows producing a little over 5,000 baby pigs a week. And it's, well, one of the most modern facilities in Illinois now.
And, too, with the hog market being so much a little better, considering with global and national things going on, in a way that could also be a blessing, too, that maybe any expense you had to incur can maybe come right back on the selling of the hogs.
Yes, we've had in the last 60 days from the 1st of March, we've had a tremendous turnaround in the price of hogs and long-term price of hogs on that. I told a gentleman right after the tornado hit Taylorville, I said I could be bankrupt or I could have all my debt paid off by the end of the year. And it looks like this, maybe I'll have some of that debt paid off anyway.
Okay, Phil, and anything else you'd like to add today?
It's been a late spring. Yeah, the farmer's going to put in some long hours. So the people run up and down the road, watch for our big tractors and that don't move at the same speed and for the farmers to be safe.
And again, that was Phil Borgic of Borgic Farms near Raymond. And finally, on this Wednesday morning, the month of May is Beef Month in the United States. So to celebrate, the folks with the Central Illinois Livestock Association have donated four $25 gift certificates to Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro to give away. To enter to win in this giveaway, you can email us at WSMI@WSMIradio.com with your name, phone number, and beef in the subject line of the email. The last day for entries is May 30th, and I will then pick four lucky winners at random on May 31st. If you're a winner, you will be contacted by phone and email, and you can pick up your certificate here at the station between Litchfield and Hillsboro. So thank you to Tom Anderson of Butler and all the folks with the Central Illinois Livestock Association for the certificates. And for this Wednesday morning, May 22nd, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.